message this morning, smothered by demons, loosed by living in truth. In the scriptures, Jesus blamed the demonic spirits for conditions of the man who could not speak. He blamed demonic spirits for the condition of the man who could not see. He blamed demonic spirits for the condition of the man who could not heal. He blamed demonic spirits for the demonic child. He blamed demonic spirits for the sick daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. He blamed demonic spirits for the man in the synagogue who had an unclean spirit. He blamed demons for the sins of Mary Magdalene. The Bible blames demons for Saul's melancholy and hateful spirit. The Bible blames demons for division between Abimelech and the sons of Shechem and the ensuing treachery. The Bible blames demons for false prophecy brought forth by demonic spirits given at certain times in history. In other words, God is blaming demons for what men are doing. I was intending on a special offering for a certain reason this morning, but I'm too far into now. Tonight, I'm going to take a second coin offering for a certain ministry. We won't do it this morning. In Acts 19:12, we read, just listen to it, I already have it. So that from his body, that is the body of Paul, were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. When they were sick, and he laid these anointed aprons upon them, two things happened. The demons left, and the sicknesses left. Implying that there is a connection, apparently. It could be read another way. The devil is severely impacting Christian lives. Severely impacting Christian lives. And the saints, in general, across the world, are yielding often to these demonic influences. And they're getting hooked. They are getting hooked. Now, they do resist. But you know, if you resist 9/10 of them and yield to one, you're hooked on the one. And he'll beat you to death. Now, most everyone here, I think, will recognize a familiar demon, a familiar demonic reaction. But you know, if we don't recognize what's happening to us, then we don't get delivered oftentimes. To be forewarned is to be half-armed. As Sandy intimated this morning, she didn't really maybe want deliverance from this one thing. You know, that is one of the reasons a lot of people are not getting delivered is they don't want delivered. Now, of course, she did want delivered, but she didn't want delivered. You know what I mean? And that's the way we are. Everybody, almost, every Christian really wants deliverance. But when it comes to being really willing to give up certain things that cost them to give up if they're delivered, they're not willing. They don't want to have self-pity if they know it's a demon causing it, but that self-pity is the crutch. And they don't have self-pity, they have to face the thing naked, stark, alone, and they're not quite sure how to handle it. And so they kind of pet that self-pity. Others have got demons of fear that keep them from testifying. But the very demons of fear that keep them from testifying make them so they don't want to give up that fear, because if they give it up, they might have to testify and they're afraid to testify. You see the round reasoning, circular reasoning here? But the fear gives them justification. Then they say, well, I'm afraid. So I don't have to because I'm afraid. If I'm not afraid, then I've got a witness. See, a lot of people won't live right because they have to live right. Then there's a lot of things required of them. So if I don't do that, why then I got some excuse to live downhill because, you know, I got a smoking habit. So, you know, you can't expect me to testify with a smoking habit. You can't expect me to outwitness him if I got a smoking habit. And you can't expect me to outwitness him if I got a smoking habit. So now I don't have to do all these things. And see, the demons are lying to people. A lot of subtle, unreasonable thoughts that people seem justified with because he makes it seem reasonable, even though it isn't. There was a survey taken. They went out, I forget the number of people, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 100 people, about 80 or 100. And they said, will you turn your TV set off for 1 month if we'll give you $500? I don't remember the exact number, but it was somewhere between 80 to 90% said they would not turn the TV set off a month for $500. In spite of the fact that most people, you know, don't have much spare money, you would think that after all that saturation that they could go 5 months. It'd be kind of a blessing to go 5 months without it. I mean, 1 month without it. $500. Now, if they came along and said, you've never been hooked on TV. And they said, you know, we get this TV set. You'll pay a couple $1,000 for it and cost you $500 a month. You'd say, forget it. But being hooked on it, they did not know how they could exist for 1 month without it. And were unwilling to do it for $500. They said that the average TV set in America is turned on 44 hours a week. People even take the TV when they go up the mountains to get away from it all. In the camper places. Can't live without that trash. Day and night. What's happened? They're hooked. They're addicted. Absolutely addicted. Now, many don't want to admit it, but they are addicted. They cannot pull themselves. That thing has got a hold of them. It's got them by the throat, and they can't give it up. They're just like, Mark Twain. He said, I can give up smoking anytime I want. I've done it thousands of times. You know. They're hooked. There are some people, they need deliverance from that. I mean, demons get them hooked. You know, see, demons get you hooked on all kinds, anything. It doesn't make a difference whether it makes sense or not. Whether it's good or bad, he doesn't care, neutral or anything, if he likes to get people hooked so they're not free. He likes to get you unbalanced, any area. There are people that are hooked on eating. They have a demon of gluttony. They have to eat all the time. Anytime they pass food, they cannot leave it alone. I mean, they have got a demon bothering them. They can't leave it alone. Even if they're full, they got to have some more. They have to stuff, stuff, stuff. Now, I'm not saying these things to be critical of people. I'm trying to be very critical of demons. I'm trying to get people to see the problem so that they'll face it on a demonic level and get rid of it rather than make excuses for themselves. Now, when a person has got a demon of gluttony, that demon does not want to leave, and he puts up a battle. So that person defends because he finds it so difficult to quit that when some skinny innie walks up to him and says, hey, fatty, why don't you quit eating so much? He immediately wants to fight back. Instead of saying, you are right, you got a point, he wants to fight back because he doesn't know how he's going to give up this monster, because this monster just craving through him. And so he'll do everything. He'll blast the other person. He'll blame his glands. He'll tell you what I don't eat much, you know. He doesn't eat much. You know what I mean? I know a doctor that said that he got tired of that. People would come in, he'd say, okay, you write down what you eat today and what you eat. And he'd have people write out what they eat. And then he said, it was a controlled situation. He said, no, this is your diet. And he put them right back on the diet and they all lost weight. So they weren't being honest with themselves what they were eating. They don't count all these little things. There are people that have got a demon that keeps them from eating. And there are people who die, those thin people, they actually starve of malnutrition. And when they got lots of money, food all about them, you put food in front of them and they go, I don't want it. They have hardly eaten a thing for days. Their stomach shrivels to nothing. And that thing inside of them, it's called a disease, because you are at dis-ease. It is something that comes upon you. And so that person will not, now that's not normal. God made your stomach to begin to give you warning growls and signals when it needs food. And that person will go day after day after day after day after day after day after day until they'll get so the skin and bones and won't eat and resist all effort and will actually get angry at people that try to get them to eat. It's a demonic spirit. It needs to be rebuked so they can get free. Some of them have actually, I read this, they've actually died because they couldn't eat. And there was nothing medically wrong with them. Doctors couldn't find a thing wrong with them. One lady in this body testified that every time she went to the store, she had to buy a pair of shoes. And she went frequently. And she had shoes galore. But she said, I could not walk into a store and pass a shoe store without going in and buying another pair of shoes. She had more shoes than there were colors. She had all kinds of styles. She had to buy more shoes. Every trip was more shoes. Now, that's unreasonable. That's unreasonable. When anything gets that unreasonable, there's a demon spirit behind it. Is he trying to get her to get shoes? They don't care, brother. As long as you get lopsided, become fanatical in something, waste your money, get a hold of you, get something onto you. Once they get you hooked on shoes, it isn't too long until it's this, and then it's this. They begin to work on your pride, your body then, see, begins to be everything. There are people that are absolutely, totally hooked on slot machines. They cannot pass a slot machine without poking the money in it. If they see a slot that a coin will fit in, it has to go in. They'll stand by the hour. They'll go great distances to lose the money. They'll take sums of money knowing they're going to lose it. All they need is one good right arm. Fun. Poking all my money in this hole as I keep doing this. After all, I get one-tenth back. You know, if you stop in the natural, it's stupid. Anytime you know something's all been calculated out so that they win and you never lose, I mean, they win, for a person to continually do this on the mathematical odds that he's always going to lose, and on a mathematical odd of any length of time, really is not very sane. But there are people who get so much worse than that. They cannot pass any room with any machine without running and sticking all the money in it. Can't pass a tab to pull something off. Anything that's got gambling, they got to do it, and they are spending all the money in it. I read of a man who inherited, I can't remember now, but a tremendous amount of money, into many millions. Lost it all in a few years in horse races. He just played them constantly with all the money he could pull on. He just watched his money go all the way down to zero. Didn't even have enough sense when it got down to $500,000 to quit. See, he had something driving him inside. There are people that lie every single time it will benefit them. Now, they call themselves Christians, and they are. They love the Lord. They go to church. They're born again. But a demon of lying has seized a hold of them. And any time they see any advantage, they'll lie. Or any time they can get out of something, they'll lie. Whenever it's conducive, they lie. In fact, there are people that could not give a testimony without lying. There are people that can't hold any conversation with somebody that can relate any story about anybody without lying about it. They have got to lie every time they open their mouth about anything or anything. The truth is not sufficient. They have got a demon of lying. A lying spirit within them, I should say, and that thing is goading them to lie. And they go through life this way, but they don't recognize what's happening. There are people that are continually negative about every single thing in life. Oh, this is a good book. Yeah, but. Yeah, I read it, but. Wasn't a good service last night? Yeah, but. He's a good brother? Yeah, but. Everything is negative. There's not one thing you can point to in the world, but there isn't something wrong with it. They never look at the bright side of anything. Buy a new car and they complain. Get a house and they complain. Get a wife, they complain. Get a husband, they complain. Get any of the children, they complain. Get a raise and they complain. Get a job and they complain. Anything. Always complaining. There are people that are continually sarcastic. Everything's a dig. Everything in life, they got to turn it into a dig. Dig, 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 dig. They got a demon that is digging through them. There are some couples that are never satisfied with normal physical relationships. It's got to be some aberration. It's got to be some unnatural physical thing, or they cannot enjoy one another. Now, unnatural should tip you off, because demons want things to be unnatural. They want to turn everything the wrong way. Call light darkness and darkness light, as the scripture says. There are people that are constantly seeking to expose themselves physically, others constantly seeking to see others exposed, and others constantly seeking physical gratification, and others constantly thinking sex. You can't say five words and you got a sexual meaning out of it. Anything you mention, you got a sexual meaning out of it. They have got demons that are forcing them, forcing them, forcing them, forcing them, pushing them to every single thing. Is some twisted form of sex, as though that was the only thing in the universe. In the universe. There are people that are constantly, because, of course, if the devil can't get you that way, then he wants you to abstain from a wife completely. Or a husband, see. He wants you any ditch, this way, get fanatical, or get legalistic. Either way, he doesn't care. Just went off the rail, that's all. There are demons that are causing people to judge everybody. They're judging. They walk around as judges. They are God on earth, judging every man, everything. They are judges. Judging him, judging him, judging, 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 judging. All they are is judges. Absolutely, totally opposite of what God said to do. They're not judges of anybody. God's never appointed them to be judged. Nobody's appointed them to be a judge. They're in no position to be a judge, and they're judging all the time. They judge everything that happens. They are the world's grandest judge. Demonic spirit. There are others that are suspicious. They get a spirit of suspicion. Suspicioning. They cannot meet anybody without their suspicion. If they see somebody, they suspicion this. See a preacher, they suspicion that. You take them to any revival meeting, they're going to suspicion immediately. They're going to suspicion the people. They're going to suspicion the ushers with the money. They're going to suspicion the pastor. They're going to suspicion. They're always suspicioning. There are others who've got a critical spirit, and they criticize everybody and everything. They're always criticizing. There are people that have got a problem in another area. They fall asleep every time they open the Bible. I've had people from years back tell me, I sit down at night time, I open the Bible, I always go right to sleep. Every time I start reading, I go to sleep. Any other novel, they can read it half the night. They open the Bible and they go right to sleep. I know there are people that every time they go to church, they fall asleep. They can go out to theater. They can go out to other things, turn the lights off. They don't go to sleep. But in service, they go to sleep. Or every time they go to service, the mind wanders. They can go out and listen to lectures by university professors and their minds don't wander. They can listen to all kinds of things, watch TV by the hour. Their mind doesn't wander. But when they come into the church service, their mind wanders. There are people that every time they fall asleep, every time they pray, they fall asleep. They can do anything else. They can stay up to 2 or 3 in the morning, but if they go to pray, they fall asleep. Now, when it happens, you know, there are times when people get tired or they're going to, you know, get sleepy. But when it happens all the time on a regular basis, you better know what's causing it. I had a sleepiness come upon me one time when I was over in the other sanctuary. I've met this many times. I was feeling fine, praising the Lord, and I got getting ready to preach, and a terrible sleepiness. I mean, I got so sleepy. That I was ready, and I'm not that type of person. I don't go to sleep among people, you know. I mean, I'm not that relaxed. And terrible sleepiness came on me, and I had to get up and ask the people to rebuke that thing, and it just lifted, and I was fine. My wife, when I first met her before we got married, she had a every time she went to pray, she got a nosebleed. every time. She could run out in the pasture and play baseball with her brothers and never get a nosebleed. And finally, the dean's wife took her back to into the prairie and prayed for her and so forth. And after she down there, her nose just started to bleed again. She always prayed, but she always bled. And from the time she got back there and rebuked the devil, from that day on, she's never had a nosebleed and praying. Now, say whatever you want. It didn't make sense before to have it just on that and have it just quit when you rebuked the devil. There are people that constantly correct every mistake of their mate. Their mate cannot make one mistake, but they'll get corrected. Their marriage is a problem because henpeck. Like the Bible talks about a man trying to live with a contentious woman. He says, like the continual drip. Old Chinese torture, drip. Drive you nuts. And so the person can't do one thing and wham, did that wrong. I didn't want you to put the pack, why don't you put it over there? Oh, you got the wrong kind of beans. Well, you turn the coat on. Well, you should have got the kids before you did that. We should have did this and this and this and this. Constantly, just constant. And then the person is just about like this. And they don't recognize they're under demonic influence. There are those who argue with a mate over every different idea. They argue from morning to night. It's one big debate club. They can't have anything. If they don't agree with it, they can't just say, this person's got a mind of their own. They got a right to their mind. That's their opinion. They stated it. I said something. They stated their opinion. We'll go on and forget it. They have got to battle that thing until one or the other breaks. Usually they both do. They cannot let it go. Hour after hour after hour after hour they are debating. You can't even, one man says, well, I like Buicks, and he says, not me. He says, I like Cadillac, and they're going to have a fight over it. It's going to last about 2 hours. They cannot disagree with anything. There are some people that are constantly bossing the other person. Boss. They're just constantly riding them all the time. Others, they yell at the kids morning to night. Constantly. Never a peaceful moment all day long. They're agitated until that thing, that sweetheart, becomes a monster. They just, until that kid, no wonder he grows up in the mess that he is. Just constant. Now, I know they can get on your nerves. But when they're always on your nerves, all the time, you better stop and look at yourself instead of the kid. A little kid has got to live and exist. He's going to poke stuff in holes. He's going to bind two things together. He's going to drag things out. He's going to step in them, fall over, walk in them. He's going to do that. You did. Why shouldn't he? Being tired, not getting enough sleep, so forth, can bring impatience. But week after week, all morning, all day long, you better stop and see what's happened. Because it may have got started from your physical weaknesses and tiredness, but you yielded so long to that criticalness that I know people who actually say, I feel like killing that kid. I know a person who said, I don't even feel safe with my child. I want to give it to my husband. We're going to divorce because I think I might kill him. And she loves that child. I've had him say that. A demon has taken over until they cannot handle the thing. There are people that cannot go to the beach. They cannot go to the mountain. They cannot go for a ride anywhere without rock music. If that thing isn't going, if their head isn't jerking and the fingers snapping, they cannot exist. They constantly got to have that blare, that thing going all the time. They just live by that beat. That drum is just making them live every moment. There's a demon driving them. There are people that can't receive correction for anything without throwing up a tremendous wall of defense about the thickest of wall is Babylon. They're never wrong. They never have been, never will be. They defend anything and everything they've ever done, all times. Everybody else is wrong, even though so multitudes, pastor, elders, you name it, they're wrong. If they're ever different than you, they're wrong. That person's always right who defends every action. He's got a real demonic problem. There are people who are constantly condemning themselves. Condemn, 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 condemn. Nobody else is condemning them. They're always condemning themselves. They're the worst in the face of the entire earth. They can't do anything. The people are constantly hating themselves. They hate themselves. The Bible says, no man yet hated his own flesh. That means, well, no man does, but demons can cause you to do that. Until they actually hate themselves. God has not made man to hate himself. Man's got something called pride that protects him from that. And most people have got plenty to spill. But in this area, there are people that constantly pity themselves. Pity, pity. They just wallow in self-pity. I mean, they're out in a lifeboat in a gigantic storm of self-pity. Always pitying poor little me. That saves them from ever facing up to life and doing something about it. Demons of self-pity. There are people that constantly are bragging on themselves. Brag, 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 brag. All the time. All they do is brag. You ever want to talk to them? You get a big bragging session. It's always, well, all that I did, and I sure showed him, and I did this. It's always lifting themselves up. Got a problem there, brother. A real problem. A real problem. Demonic problem. There are people that dislike everybody. They dislike people. That's unreasonable. People don't like to live alone. Some people... business. There are others who are constantly gossiping, spreading every rumor. Every gossip has got to be passed on. They'd be the world's greatest badminton player. Just keep, bat it over to them, they're going to bat it back, carry it on. Like in a relay race. You hand it to them, they'll hand it to somebody else, and they'll run with it and hand it to somebody else. They can't stop themselves. They live on it. I'm bringing all these things, and then at the end, showing you what we need to do about it. I'm only bringing these, hoping that the Holy Spirit will convict. Hoping that you will open up that any of that demon, and they will not try to say, oh yeah, but, well, critical against him for this. I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I am only seeing what the devil is doing to us children of God. And I don't think any of us can say we have been totally unimpacted by these spirits. We need help from God. And if we're ever going to get there, we've got to face our problems, because people go years with it because they will not deal with the problem. They're dealing with the symptom rather than the problem and never getting it taken care of. Wasting thousands of precious hours, counseling hours, trying to cure something downstream when they keep pouring it out upstream. There are those who are constantly looking into every fringe group and dissenter group to see if they have the truth. You cannot raise any little band or group that dissents with them running into it. They're always in it. I know somebody that every little dissenter or fringe group that has ever arisen in this church or because of it, around it, he's always been there. He finds them. I don't know how he smells them out, like a camel smells water. And he's in the middle of every single one of them. There are people that just somehow, they live and thrive in that person's life. I've watched it go downhill and downhill and downhill and downhill and downhill from the time he first came here. They live in this type of thing. They don't look for truth among the many. They look for it among the few. And then there are those who are constantly seeking to argue Scripture. Anybody and everybody. Any Scripture. You name it. They're happy to argue. They'll argue all the day long with anybody. All they want to do is argue Scripture. They don't want to live by it. They only want to argue it. They don't want to give the love of Jesus. They just want to argue. It's not life to them. It's food for argument. Then there are those who are constantly making jokes, laughing. Everything's funny. I mean, you can't name a thing, but it's funny. Funny, funny, funny. They'll have funny people. Just funny all the time. Everything's a joke. They will not face up to living with any sobriety in life. Everything is turned into a joke. She's totally unbalanced. They're a demonic problem. There are people constantly morose. Everything's always dark. Hopeless. Morose. They live in a deep, dark world where a dark shaft goes way up and there's a plug over to the light, and they walk in that darkness. No, I'm not blaming them. Poor souls need deliverance. Oh, that they will seek deliverance. I don't care how deep the hole or how dark it is. If you'll cry out to God in faith with all you got, God will deliver. But these people hide and don't cry out. There are people who are constantly introspective, always examining themselves, always looking within. Paul said, I judge not even my own self. Always examine. Instead of looking at Jesus, they look at themselves. Then there are those who are constantly buying every glamour book, thinking day and night about how they look or how they could look. All they do is live for the body. Everything is their body. Every moment they walk is how I look in front of people, how I look. Until they're so really lopsided. Now people do care how they look like, but not all day long. Every step you take, everything, they buy every book in sight. They should have memorized everything 14 times by now, always buying more. Something's got a hold of them. They're those constantly seeking pleasure. They live only for fun. They have no goal in life. They hate everything. They hate all the jobs. They hate everything. They live for when they can spring loose and have a burst of fun. And then there are those who are constantly seeking to get. Giving. Everything in life is get. Gimme, gimme, what can I get out of it? They never give. And then there are those feeling that everybody owes them a living and everybody owes them love. They're going, everybody should give me. And they blame everybody who doesn't give into their hands. There are those who are constantly looking at the stock market. They look at the profit curve. They never spend unless it's an emergency. They're saving all the time, and some people become rich, and they live like the poor. They become exceedingly stingy, though they be rich and have more to give than anybody else. The poor, will outgive those rich every time. They will always outgive the rich. And if anybody needs help, the poor rises up and give it to them, and the rich will stay there and not give a dime. They cannot spend money. They dress all tattered because this could do me a little bit longer. Profit curve, they always profit curve. And they die rich, which means they're as poor as the money they spent. They got lots of money, but it's only a medium of exchange. And since they won't use it, they're no poorer than if they didn't have it. You could rob them from that money and keep the books the same, and they would be just as happy. And they'd never know the difference. There are those who are constantly measuring themselves with others. They cannot live without measuring, although they're not somebody else, measuring themselves, always measuring themselves. Measuring with her husband, with my husband, this person with me with them, always doing this. Now, I am not, again, my heart is not to criticize people. I am only showing what the devil has done so we can get out of it. If you will identify the areas, now I don't mean something happened once or twice, you know, that these things happen a few times on occasion. But anytime you're trapped in something constantly, all the time, you know you get the money problem. That's what I'm talking about, a consistency in this thing. There are those who are constantly social climbing or intellectually competing or financially competing and comparing. There are those who never take care of them of their self-appearance, their clothes, their home, their family, their bills, their financial obligations, their sloppy and all things. Sloppy, sloppy, sloppy. You can't even open the door. The bedroom, they can't get in. They have to hit against it before they step through the door. Ron Lowry was telling me about a home the other day. He had people up in the university district. They're looking to seek to get a home up there, a home. These people living in there. He said, "You got to come up and see this, Pastor." He said, "You need to come up and see this thing. You wouldn't believe it. You cannot get in the doors. I mean, it's all over the floor. I mean, people live." He said, "You wouldn't believe how they live." University students seeking to better themselves in the world, become businessmen, living like filthy pigs in the parlor. You know, people can get so messed up. You see, demons can get you that way. They can get you that you take something out of your clothes, you give it a heave this way over the back of your shoulder. After all, three movies have taught you to do it, and television, everything. Everybody just tromps them all over the place, walk all over it. They do everything messed up. Everything's always messed up in what Hollywood does and shows. Teach people to live like tramps. We won't take care of anything. God's people, I feel God's people should be neat, clean, tidy, respectful, integrity, do things right. I can imagine Jesus Christ throwing his clothes down and tromping all over them. And the Apostle Paul, you know, having, you visit the Apostle Paul's home and it's just a pigsty. I can't imagine that. I don't believe that. There are those constantly being hurt by everyone they have fellowship with. Their whole life is a constant series of getting hurt. Anytime they meet anybody, they immediately fall in love with them, have a wonderful time with them, and they get hurt. And they turn to somebody else, and they rush to them. They need them so badly, in a short time, they're hurt. And they run to somebody else, and the same thing happens over and over, and all they get hurt, hurt, hurt. And it's always the other guy's fault. Always. They're always hurting me. They're in a position that's so vulnerable, thin-skinned. You can't see the tiniest thing, and they're hurt. The devil has done this. Now, doing all these things, people doing, and many people think that demons are not involved. That's just them. No, my friend. Because we've all been brought up in the same world, and when one person is completely, totally lopsided that way, and he's totally lopsided a completely different way, and he's totally lopsided a completely different way, when we're all brought up basically the same, something's wrong someplace. We should all be getting lopsided in the same directions, to the same extent, basically. Not so wildly differently, but you've got different demons. Keith Gunn said, this last time he was out here, that he said he kept preaching people do's and don'ts, and he wondered why people wouldn't follow. He said, I began to find out that they couldn't, that they were demonically trapped, that until they got rid of certain demons, they were never going to do that and never could. That thing was choking them absolutely to death. He could preach at them and preach at them and preach at them and preach at them, but they were smothered. In other words, this guy's got a demon of fear. He is just seized with mortal fear. And you walk by with a stack of tracts and say, say, brother, I want to, oh, boy, I mean, before you even get the words out of your mouth, he just seizes up in fear. He just gets like a block of marble, and he just is scared to death. Well, you can preach and say, brother, get out and witness. Brother, you got to let your light shine, okay? Glory to God. Scripture over here, brother. That's not going to move him. Until he gets rid of that demon inside that's fearing, he's going to continue fearing. And you can take that in any area, no matter what the area may be. Say, come on, fatty, quit eating so much. Oh, they battled that thing. They have battled that thing. They have battled that thing until they finally have given up. They don't want to hear another word about it. Every time they try it, it's an enormous battle. But when God sets you free, you can be free. Free. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If sometime during your Christian life, and I can testify this too, so you don't need to be embarrassed. If sometime during your Christian life, you had an area that the demon had got you hooked on that you could not get rid of. You fought it and fought it and prayed and fought and prayed and fought and prayed and prayed and prayed. There came a day when you met that thing on a demonic basis and God delivered you and you have been free, 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 free ever since. Would you stand as a testimony to that? Well, that includes most everybody. Okay, thank you. Now, you see, generally in a person's life, he may get saved and he feels wonderful. Everything's going great. But after a while, the Holy Ghost starts putting his finger on something. And you'll throw nine things off, but the tenth one somehow will stick there. But there comes a day of deliverance for that thing when you finally meet it head on. Now, people have been coming to me, not a lot of them, but a few, and they say, you know, Pastor, I'm really concerned about the body, you know. I mean, God's doing wonderful things, but I know there's some people here that, well, I was so demonically trapped and I didn't know it. I had this problem, brother, and they would tell me, you know, I couldn't get rid of this thing. I fought this thing. But I was praying with so-and-so and so-and-so, and God just took that thing out of me, and it's gone, and and they want me to tell the people. I said, brother, I've been preaching. I mean, I have been telling the people. But it just happened to them. They didn't hear it when I preached. But now, they really heard it, and now that they got free, they feel like they're so concerned. They say, oh, if you just can tell them. That's what I've been doing, brother, telling them. I can't want to preach demonism all my life. I mean, if they don't hear it, they don't hear it. We've got people to pray for deliverance. We've asked them to. And so I'm kind of taking one last swing back to the camp saying, I am concerned too. I want the rest of us free. Total free. And if you won't heal, if you won't heal, there's nothing we can do. You're going to live in it. But I told her, brother, I said, you know, what's happened, brother, is God is letting people go long enough until they hit bottom. And that bump is so hard when they hit bottom. And when they finally get up dazed and realize, hey, I'm clear downhill, I'm in trouble. Some of them are in jail when they wake up. Some get arrested. People come to me and say, I got arrested, I'm going to have to appeal and so-so. Now they're willing. Now they're willing. It's kind of nice to get willing before you get arrested. You know what I mean? Now I'm willing to do something because my marriage is falling apart. Now I walk with God. We struggled during that time, and they would not. But now that they finally, the wife has said goodbye forever, now they're willing to walk with God. Now they're willing to pay the price. And you go down the line. See, God has a way of letting people who will not heal get, like Jonah, to the bottom of the sea. Out of his mercy and goodness. But, oh, it'd be nicer just to, you know, go off of that ship and come right back up and climb back on a boat and not have to go through all of that ordeal. We don't have to go through it, but we will if we will not heal. The main reason people do not get delivered is that demons don't want them to get loose. And these demonic spirits, they work hard on a person. Now, those Christians don't want to admit that they've got a demon, oftentimes, because of pride. And they feel it's them. Well, I just feel it's me. But you get down and really examine the case, and it doesn't all add up. What you? You really loved all this, huh? Well, I hate it. Well, you like some aspects of it, but I wish I wasn't this way. I hate this thing. Oh, well, then it isn't all you if you hate it. What's that you eating? Oh, it's this skunk cabbage pudding. You like it? Hate it. What are you eating it for then? If you don't like it, you go poo. You spew it out of your mouth. Well, if we're doing things we hate, there's somebody else involved. That's what Paul says, Book of Romans. Says, there's another law living inside of me. There's another thing working in there. See, the Christians live by feelings and the pressures of these demons. And these demons don't want you to get free. And there's a pressure. You've got to deal with these people. And it's really difficult. You think they'd say, oh, thank you for coming. Oh, I want to be free. But there's a resistance to getting free of that which they hate, because that demon is rising up in you and makes you feel like, well, don't want to pray. I don't want to be delivered. I don't want anybody around. I don't want to be delivered. See? And that thing, and they yield to the pressure. They yield to the feeling. And because you have the feeling, say, brother, I just thought I'd come over and pray for you and just be a blessing to you. She'll say, oh, thank you. Love to have you. Boy, do I need it. That comes from a voice that somebody already doesn't need it. But the ones who need it oftentimes say, well, I'm busy. I don't know. I'm, you know. They don't want to. It's that demon that rises up and says, don't let me. I'm not going to let loose of you. You're mine. Do you want to be theirs? Now, there was a problem in the church for a long time. There were two theories. You see, about, and I'm speaking in a very general sense now, but this is basically right. About 1900, in the born-again Christian world, almost all born-again Christians believed that a Christian could not be demon-possessed. And they said there's God is, if God's in you and living in you, a demon cannot be possessing you. And therefore, they said, he only oppresses from without. Demon possession is for the ungodly who have been possessed. But then, and see, there wasn't an awful lot of cases. Most people you ask, they never saw a case of a possessed person in the first place. And all they saw is a lot of Christians oppressed. And it was a very good theory. And from what the scriptures seem to say and indicate, it all seemed to make sense. But then they begin finding out Christians begin doing some things that they didn't figure that they should do. And certain Christians would say things like, I'm not going to let him go. Well, that didn't quite make sense. And another voice would come out of them. And the person said, that's been a sweet person. That person's been loving Jesus. They were a Sunday school teacher, and I know that person, I know him for years. And all of a sudden, he was praying about this thing, and I began to come and say, you demon, you quit oppressing him. And he'd say things like, I'm not going to come out. Well, I've lived here for 12 years. And then so a new camp was formed that Christians could be demon-possessed after all. And then so some said, yes, you can. Some said, yes, you can't. And so some were casting demons out of people on the grounds they were demon-possessed and the others. But then pretty soon there came up some other cases that the first one said, well, I don't know now what's happening here, because we are now seeing so many cases of demonism. When the occult came into this country and all the dope and everything else came in, all of a sudden there was so much of it that they had to take a second look. Now, both camps were wrong to a degree in the overall picture of it. And I came from the first camp, brought up that way, but I've had to come to move to what I call a third camp. I still believe that Christians cannot be demon-possessed. I still believe they're being demon-oppressed, but I've come to realize, believe, that these demon forces still take up residence in the body, not in your spirit, in your body. Like it says there, you put aprons on them, the sickness is left and the demon left. And those demons taking up the body can at times, I never used to believe this, but I've now come to believe that they can at times use that person, can speak through that person, even if he doesn't possess his spirit. There just seems to be too many cases. Keith gave us a case in his church. A sweetheart person, really loving God. And I've just seen too much, and the scriptures don't tell you exactly, but I do believe that it's possible for a Christian to be possessed. That is, your spirit cannot be possessed by God and be possessed by the devil at the same time. But, just like William Branham, just like Jesus Christ himself, cast demons out of people who had, like a demon of epilepsy, for example. Wasn't in his spirit, even a child, even of cancer, things like this. And so people say, oh, I got a demon. Well, brother, just like, you mean I'm sick? I got a cold? If you come and say, I got a cold. If you come and say, I command that demon to leave, we're not talking about leaving your spirit, you're given over to it, but that thing is taking up residence, and those demons you have yielded to for so long that they get you almost hypnotized. Like all they can do now is snap your fingers. They don't have to do a lot anymore. At first, they had to work to get you into that first sin, but now, every time the thing jumps up, that spirit puts a little energy in your mind, and wham, you just leap for it. They got you programmed like Pavlov's dogs. Now, I'm concerned about those who have backslid from this assembly. See, it wasn't necessary. They went under demonic pressure and did not handle it on a demonic level, and they're gone. They're gone. They're lost. I'm concerned about those who turned against us. They didn't have to. Those demons got in. They could not see shit. That thing was on them. They thought for sure. But they could not handle it on the right basis and take care of it, and they got in trouble. I'm concerned about those in this assembly that are hassled, harassed by the devil. You're constantly going through it. You don't have to be constantly going through it. There's no reason you have to live in a constant harassment of the devil. Constant mind battles, constantly struggling till you're ready to drop. No matter what your environment is. I'm concerned about those in the assembly who are put to sleep spiritually by demons. They're just in a sleepy state. I'm concerned about those who will backslide unless they get delivered. Something happened. Not yet, but they're set up for it. Even as others come to a certain date, certain things come in, and that's the time they topple. You pile enough oily rags by the furnace, and eventually they're going to ignite. And you're getting by with it for a while, but eventually, whammo. Just like, for example, I've had people tell me, I used to get up and talk about getting to sleep in the dorms, for the dorms. And I've had students come to me and say, well, I wish I had listened to you. You kept telling us that, and I was getting by in 3 hours sleep a night, and I kept going on and on and on. And come the day, I even thought it was smart after a while, doing it. I bragged, I only get 3 hours. I don't got 3 hours last night, everybody. He said, they come and I broke. He said, I have been 2 years trying to get back out of this thing now. He said, it's been a long, hard pull. I wished I had listened to you. You see, your body, you are responsible for the maintenance of that vehicle you live in. And you may have to drive it extra fast and long and hard sometimes, but you better stop every so often and put some more oil on. I know two women that drove back east.
And the oil light, and he watched the red oil light all the way back until it burned out. There are people living like that. His oil light's on, yeah, and they keep on driving. Oil light's on. They keep on driving until the thing burned out. The people live with the oil light on. Brother, you better stop and get an overhaul. I'm concerned about those who live beneath God's love and His power and His anointing, live beneath His peace, struggle until Christianity is hard work for them. I'm concerned about those who have given up already inside. They've just given up. They come to church, but they've given up. Ever becoming something and doing something. I'm concerned about you because the demon has got you trapped. And you'll give up completely one day if you don't get out of that. I'm concerned about those that are waiting for God to do it all. Just sitting down. Well, you said God was going to do it all. Don't misrepresent. Don't let a demon come along and misrepresent. We didn't say you do nothing. There's man's responsibility, which we always preach, and there's God's responsibility. You can't throw away half of what we preach and just take the other half. You can't throw away the meat and potatoes and just take the cake. And then I'm concerned about those that are struggling to do everything in themselves. They're going to do it all themselves or break, which they will. You cannot do it all in yourself. They'll never move in the Spirit because it's all holiness, brother. Just follow the Word. If you're going to follow the Word, you're going to walk in the Spirit and let God do it. And I'm concerned about those that are living by feelings. Because when a demon gives them more feelings, they follow the feeling. And they can't get loose because the demon gives them feelings, which won't let them get loose. Well, I don't feel like doing that. Well, I don't feel like them. Well, I don't feel this. Well, I don't feel that. You're never going to make it if you go by feelings. You may not feel at a time you need more than ever before. We have got to go by the Word. Now, quickly, how to beat the devil. Constantly read the Scriptures and apply them. This Word is full of things that if you constantly read it for the purpose, not of arguing, but of finding something there and then applying it. Every time you see something that you are doing instead of stop doing, or that you're not doing instead of to do, you write it down and you begin to pray about that thing and put all your energy behind conquering that thing. And you keep going through the Scripture doing that, and you're going to grow, brother, and give the devil a rough time. Constantly be in fellowship. And when you're in fellowship, enter in. These people that only drop by church occasionally, don't give the Holy Ghost a chance at you. Get in there where God's working, where the preachers can preach at you, and the people can testify and sing to you. And when you get there, you can't just keep the box locked. You got to open it up. You got to enter in. You got to plug it in. Constantly pray and praise God. You constantly pray. I never saw a person in trouble yet who wasn't constantly praying and praising God who didn't get out of it. Constantly seek to believe God against all hope, all sight, all human forecast. Just constantly seek to believe God in everything and just hold on to that thing tenaciously. Constantly express love to God and accept His love. I accept your love. I have a right to have your love. You said you love me, and I don't care how unlovely I am. You love me anyway, and I accept it, and I thank you for it. And I'm not going to believe anything different than you love me. Constantly witness at every opportunity. You know, witnessing, you're telling them how wonderful it is. Tell them how wonderful Jesus is. Tell them how Jesus will meet their needs, how faithful Jesus is. That's building something in you. That keeps you from doing the opposite. A man is always telling everybody else how faithful God is. He feels God's faithful. Refuse all negativeness, all rumors, all criticalness. Don't let this junk in. Just wave it on by. Refuse to judge people. What do you think about it? I'm not the judge, brother. Well, I'll let God decide. I'll let Him judge that. Seek to be doers of all that you hear and read in the Scriptures. Constantly seek to walk in the Spirit. Yielding to the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. Don't just walk with your brain, walk with your spirit too. Constantly seek to appropriate God's power. You have something to do, say, now Lord, I'm claiming your power for this. I'm going to step right out in your name, in your power. I'm going to walk, and I'm going to testify, I'm going to witness. Whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do it in your power. I'm not going to just go out and argue Scripture, but now Lord, I put myself before you to let you use me and bring your anointing, and you keep constantly appropriating. Constantly claim God's power and provisions. You keep claiming His power and His provisions for your life, and then you've got something to use and walk in. God makes it available for those who will take it. And lastly, constantly seek to love and to give and to let Jesus flow out. And if you constantly seek to just going to let Jesus flow out, just going to let Jesus flow out, then you won't be wham. Then you won't be something rise up. But if you're going to let Jesus, if you keep constantly put yourself in the framework of, that's called yielding. Otherwise, you yield to the devil. Something happened, it's a little bit ugly, and the devil rushes up and says, here I am available. I'll murder him. I'll make you look good and him look so sad. I'll tell him a thing or two. See? I'll knock your ears down so far you can use them for pants pockets, you know. I'll tell him, see? Then the Holy Spirit comes more gently to yield to me. And if you'll block this thing, I rebuke you, Satan, that spirit that would well up in Jesus' name, Lord, now just give me your love and your peace to witness to this people. We've had a lot of people, a number of people in this congregation who've been run into by somebody else that messed up their car, and some of them didn't have any insurance, and they stood and witnessed to them about Jesus and how wonderful Jesus was. They got ran into by somebody else's car. So instead of wanting to fight them, they got out and witnessed to them how wonderful Jesus was, and won some of them, brought some of them here. Couldn't figure out anybody like that before. Let me close with a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2:11. You don't have to look them up. I'm going to go really fast. For what a man knoweth, or for me, what knoweth? 2:11. Just a moment. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Number one, know his traps and keep out of them. Don't be ignorant of his devices. Ephesians 4:26. You can turn here if you want, because I've got all the readings in Ephesians 4:26. I'll give you just a moment to find it. Now you might say, this isn't my kind of sermon this morning. Well, it's not mine either. But it can do a good job if you will allow it and take it honestly and openly and will begin to seek these areas and say, I have been indicted this morning by God's word, by the truths of God, and I am going to do something about it, and I am going to approach this on a demonic level. I'm going to get delivered. I'm going to continually... You don't just come once, have hands laid on you, and quit. You make an all-out warfare on this and continually have the saints pray for you, continually beat that devil and continually claim until you are indeed free. And don't just work with hands laid on you. Turn around and live it so we can't crawl back in again. Don't bite them out and kick them out and invite them back in again. Ephesians 4:26. I know I've been long. Be ye angry and sin not. If you get angry, let it be a righteous indignation. Don't you have a sinful indignation. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If you get really upset with something and you just get really torn up inside, you get it taken care of before the sun goes down. Keep the thing every day new and fresh. Don't carry day for today to day. Now, these are scriptures. This is what God says to do. These will get you out of trouble. There's somebody been carrying wrath for 12 years. Against a brother. Get it taken care of before the sun goes down. So you can keep your heart clean and guarded. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him a room in your house. Don't board him. 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearing. Don't let anything come out of your mouth that's not good. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Be kind, be tender, be careful of people's lives and hearts. That will help you walk so that you can avoid the devil. Chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Follow God. Be his children. Emanate your father. See what God's like and follow him. Verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. Let love be in you. Just keep yourself full of love. Don't be full of all that ugliness. You get yourself in a place where everything's forgiven, cleansed, and clean. Open up to love people. Open up your heart to people, and then walk in love. Oh, it's so much better. It can be done. Verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let him give you light. It seems so dark, but it's not so dark. If you let him give you light, it'll look different. Verse 15. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Be wise how you walk. Be very careful that you walk very circumspectly before the Lord. Don't be careless and just do anything. Think and measure to the scripture before you do it. See? Measure twice and cut once. You ever heard that? That's what carpenters are supposed to do. Measure twice and cut once rather than measure once and cut twice. Well, measure before you cut. Look before you leap. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse 17. Understand the will of the Lord. Then do it. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess or debauchery. Don't be drunk with wine, because that's excess. Or that's excess, more than your body can use for any purpose of food. It's now tossed you from equilibrium. It's stormed your body. That's debauchery. But be ye filled with the Spirit. Be constantly filled with the Spirit. Keep filled up. The Greek is the continuing action. Keep filled with the Spirit. I never saw anybody in my life continually kept filled with the Spirit who was all grouchy and dumpy and critical and morose. See, there is a way to get free. There is a way to stay free and walk above these things. But we just got to be willing to do it. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns.